You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Ollie Pimlott with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to the action on the 27th. And I had to think then, Ollie, because the days just merge into one.
It doesn't feel like... Well, what day is it today? Tuesday.
Yeah.
A very Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Do you say that after Christmas?
Oh, why not?
Or do you just say season's greetings or...
Festive regards.
Yeah, festive regards to all our listeners from all around the world. I hope they had a delightful day yesterday, and may they have a prosperous new year.
Absolutely. And as we're recording this, I think William Hill's Andrew Thornton's just...
He has another winner. Another winner.
I think that's the same one that he won on the other week.
How did you spot Andrew?
It did a close-up.
Oh, right, okay.
And also his style.
His distinctive style.
Absolutely. But well done to him, and well done to you if you back the winner of the King George, because we're recording this just after the King George. About 15 minutes afterwards, might bite the winner. 6-4 favourite, beat Double Shuffle into second at 50-1, with T for Two back in third at 20-1. Bit of a funny result in behinds. Double Shuffle was the... I don't call it the benchmark, because that's wrong, but you know exactly what you're getting with Double Shuffle around Kempton over 3 miles.
150 horse, wrong. Well, that's what he is.
And you feasibly could have seen him sneaking into the frame, so maybe the 50-1 was a little bit wrong on that. But what you would say is that quite a few have possibly underperformed.
Yeah.
The likes of
Thistlecrack being one.
Vox Norton.
But have they underperformed, or is this just a bad renewal? And we've got a little bit of... But this is, we're literally recording it at 21 minutes past.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes after the race, we don't know anything that's happened. But you go through the horses, Alex. Let's get the result up here. You could have poked holes prior to the race in just about every one other than Might Bite.
Mm-hmm.
Bristol Demai had the same profile going into this race last year. Same thing happened. You know, he needs Haydock, he needs Weatherby, he needs Soft Ground, and he needs an easy lead. None of which he got today. We weren't expecting him to get it, but he was the short-priced second favourite in the race.
Mm.
Thistlecrack. He got his heart broken by
Many Clouds
at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Got injured then, got a tendon injury. People were saying he needed the run at Newbury. You can't need the run that badly for a graded race from a yard such as Colin Tizard's. And he's ran a similar race today. He's travelled nicely in behind Bristol Demai and Might Bite. And when push has come to shove, he's fallen in a heap, hasn't he, effectively. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some issue there, perhaps bleeding. He has gone a bit like a bleeder there, strong travelling and then falling in a heap. Perhaps it's a tendon injury again, we don't know. But he's not the horse he once was.
Yep.
From the two runs we've seen this year. Fox Norton didn't run his race at Sandown. People were saying it was the trip, but he was beaten far too early at Sandown for it to be the trip. He was never going today, Fox Norton, ever. Whisper didn't jump a twig, did he? I know he's a sketchy jumper anyway, but he usually travels with a bit more fluency. Didn't have Davy Russell, who gets on so well with him, on board either. So you're effectively left with the race that's just fallen to pieces. And the people who... Two horses you can rely on around here, Double Shuffle and T for Two, have ran the races. But Might Bite... people will say, well, he's only won by a length.
Yeah.
Against a horse rated 150, and T for Two was one, you know, early 160s. What sort of performance was it? But it was a Cheltenham performance. He idled, didn't he? All he was doing in front was idling. His ears were going back and forth. He wasn't doing a tap in front.
Well, I think Nico de Bonneville didn't give him a slap until after the jump
and
the
he's,
last.
He's never going to win by miles because he's so much of a character, in inverted commas. We know what he did at Cheltenham, where he wasn't out on his feet, as some notable journalists seem to say.
Mm.
But he was a sideling. That's what he is. He's a typical Scorpion. He's got a bit of quirkiness in him, to say. And that's all he's done today. He's hit the front from a long way out. They've had nothing in to lead him because Bristol Demise pretty much jumping to fallen to bits.
Mm.
And he's just idled in front.
Do you think this could be the start of a spell of dominance for Mike Biden in these kind of races?
Could well be. There's no reason why he shouldn't win at Cheltenham. My only worry for him winning the Gold Cup is the long running from the last. Could he just be idling too much and get caught by something that's flown from the back and he doesn't have time to re-rally?
Do you ride him differently then? Do you hold him up?
You could, because in the Gold Cup, there's never a slowly run Gold Cup.
No, that's true. But just in general, you wouldn't suggest...
But in a race like today...
I think you're going to lose more races than...
Why do you need to change tactics when he keeps winning?
Yeah. No, true. And he won by a length in the end, but who knows, he could have been value for much more than that.
He was value for probably double that distance. I think if he never got to his quarters double shuffle, but if he did, I think he'd have pulled out a lot more. So, yeah, I'm not in any sort of worry about the length distance. He's got to be the one to beat in the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Okay. What about Bouvardaire? We saw Bouvardaire earlier, who beat the new one and in doing so didn't really prove anything to anyone. But at the same time, that turn of foot was...
I thought it was an incredible performance.
It is devastating, because for all that the new one gets a fair bit of flack for being, you know, a grand old...
Stager.
Yeah,
who's not quite top class.
Exactly.
Which he isn't, but he's also won over £1 million in prize money
and
now.
And you also know exactly what you're going to get with him, because he always runs his race.
He's the most perfect yardstick that you could want.
And Bouvardaire has pretty much laughed at him.
And it's been given a good ride. You know, it's not often we sit in the studio and praise a ride that's been beaten. But I think Sam Twissenday has done the right thing. He's stacked him up.
Yeah.
He's kicked around the bend and he's tried to do him for speed.
And two out it looked. Hang on. And then all of a sudden he's back on the bridle.
Yeah.
And within a few seconds he's a couple of lengths on and still on the bridle. I was really taken by that.
Yeah, I thought it was an incredible performance.
He's massively odds on, a 2 to 11 shot,
but I thought it was an incredible performance. And people are have we got the champion hurdle market here, Alex?
I shall try and find it for
you. Say people are talking about Forheen, but how can you back in Forheen? Anti-post against him.
Mm.
You know, we've seen it with Thistlecrack. Horses who've had these injuries, more often than not, don't come back the same horse.
7-4, Bouvardaire, 2-1 for Heen.
Bouvardaire should be a point shorter than Faheen. At least you know his well-being.
Mm.
At least you know his well-being. I'd be all over Bouvardaire in the champion hurdle market. How is Melon second favourite?
Third
favourite.
Mm.
Probably pulled a little bit too hard. Ruby Walsh will probably be back to ride him at the Cheltenham Festival, but he's been beaten at a Cheltenham Festival. He's another one of this Mullins hype machine.
Sizing John the 4-1 favourite, by the way, for the Gold Cup, might bite second in at fives.
That might change, Mike, with the Lexus.
Yeah.
There's
going to be a lot of people who see Mike bite at 5-1 and go, I'm fine with that.
I mean, got the likes of Native River in there, who's always going to be on the front end taking him along. I mean, how is Thistlecrack 14-1?
Yeah.
He should be double that.
Okay. So in summary, Mike Bite, nice performance, probably a bit more left. Bouvardaire, very nice and impressive performance.
If I was having an anti-post bet, which I wouldn't do at 2-1, because probably on the day, even if Foyne doesn't turn up, he's going to be bigger than even money, isn't he?
You'd hope so.
But...
So 7-4 now, Bouvardaire. It's not the worst, is it?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's fair.
As happens over the festive period, there's some belting racing to look forward to on the next day.
Who knows what day
exactly,
it is.
Exactly, and on this occasion, it is Wednesday that we all look forward to. The Welsh National is coming up at 2:50 from Chepstow. Of course, a handicap chase over the extended 3-mile, 5-furlong trip. The one thing that you do know is this will take a bit of getting. This is not just a stayer that you need for this kind of race. It is an out-and-out stayer, one that is capable of normally going in pretty testing conditions. And let's face it, there are plenty in this race that are just that.
Yep.
Doesn't make it that much easier, though, because you've got a few unexposed ones, a few coming here in great form, a few coming here in no sort of form at all, but have got the back class. Where do you want to start with
this? I'll be honest with you, Alex Dunn. I don't have a strong opinion on the race.
Okay.
I thought it was devilishly tricky. I don't have a strong opinion on it. But I can give you a short list of about 4 or 5.
Okay. I'll run you down the betting first.
Yeah.
8-1 Beware the Bear as we record this at 3:30 now on Boxing Day.
Rotten, do you know what's amazing about him straight away?
Mm.
Nicky Henderson has never won a Grand National of any description, which would seem incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The amount of winners he's trained over the years, he's never won a Grand National. I don't even think he's won a...
8-1 Beware the Bear.
I don't think he's ever won a Durham National.
Well, I think if he tried to, he probably
could.
Yeah,
he probably could.
Beware the Bear, 8-1, 9-1 at the Casbah. Chasers put 10s with Wild West Wind and Folsom Blue. 11s for Ask the Weatherman. Final Nudge, 12s with Mystery. Vicente, 14s in company with Bishop's Rose, Rasda Murray, Vintage Cloud and Milan's Barn, 16s and bigger the rest. I love Beware the Bear. I really do. I think he will win a National of some description. Mm. But maybe next year.
You think it's a year too early?
He's just a big baby. Mm. And that's not to say he can't win this.
He's won the rehearsal chase with a saddle around his backside.
Yeah. This could be the absolute making of him. It could be that he's...
He's only got a £4 penalty as well. So he's well in, isn't he?
He's only had 10 starts. Mm. You know, I just think he's... I really do like the horse. He's a very likable... Again, you say character. He's a bit of a character. He's huge. Yeah. He's just he can't get out of his way sometimes. But you'd think... A track like Chepstow will suit. I'm not saying he can't win this year by any means. And at 8-1, it's probably a fair enough price.
Yeah. But Rockler Casbah, the second favourite. My major concern, trainer form.
Mm.
Philip Hobbs is not having a good time of it at the minute.
No winners in the last fortnight, as
no,
we
I just
this.
I just think, well, look at Harry Fry. People were slagging his horses, saying they weren't running particularly well. He had a double on the card today at Kempton. But they're running, a lot of them are running okay. When was his last winner, Alex? Contented around about...
8th of December at Sedgefield.
Yeah. He's had about 30 runners since.
That is as a record. I mean, there's every chance that since... There's been that many races on Boxing Day that we could have missed one.
But he could have had 20 runners today and not had a winner as well.
Okay, so Rutler Casbah, line through that one.
Goes particularly well fresh. He's been saved for the race in mind. He's a winner at the track back in October. But I would just be worried about the form of the yard.
Now, it does often go to quite a low weight. We saw Native River lug top weight around here last year, which was some performance. But prior to that, Empress Choice, Mountainous, Monbeg Dude, Le Beau Bai and Dream Alliance all carried 10 stone 8 or less.
Mm. Miko de Beauchamp, 2007, up 10.5.
Thing is, this year, the bottom weight is carrying 10.9. Mm. So a little bit different in that regard. But again, would you be looking towards maybe the bottom of the handicap for one that's sneaking?
I liked Ask the Weatherman. I backed him in the Fox Hunters last year where he was disappointing. Very prolific point-to-pointer. Always wears the cheek pieces. Very, very impressive at Exeter when well-backed on his handicap debut last time. Runs off a mark of 1.38 here. You get the feeling, though, he's inexperienced. He's never going to run in a 20-runner competitive race like this where they go hell for the leather over best part of 4 miles. So inexperience might count him out, but he is the unexposed one. Comes from, you know, up-and-coming stable who know the time of day, that of Jack Barber. He's going to be one of mine if we can get the betting up. So he's the first on the shortlist at 11-1. The second one on my shortlist is Mystery. Won the Ida at Newcastle last season.
12-1.
Then ran even better when winning the Midlands National. Second in the Midlands National.
Yeah.
Has Robbie Dunn on board, who loves a staying handicap chase. Got a great record in these races. And I still think Mr. Ree, off a mark of 1.33, is capable of even better. And he's another one who's relatively unexposed and was a massive improver last season, winning the Ida and then finishing second behind Chase the Spud in the big one at Uttoxeter.
Okay. So there'll be the two against the field.
Am I allowed to give you one more?
Go on then.
And it is Pobbles Bay.
16-1.
I think he's been trained for this race in mind. Only one run this year. On the face of it, disappointing. We're only finishing 9th of 12 at Aintree, but I would say that had prep run written all over it.
Another one who's inexperienced, has only had the 10 runs so far, and who knows, could well have a little bit more to come.
Very shrewd yard. Mm. This has always been in mind for him, and he's another one who was incredibly progressive last season. So there's three darts, Alex, to throw at the Welsh National. They're all bigger than 10-1.
Yep. But you could have a few more darts and still
not, and still not get it. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Lees, of course, Richard and then Kerry do particularly well in these kind of races, and Kerry Lee saddles Bishop's Road in this one, who is around about a 14-1 shot. But plenty of interest in the Welsh National. That's coming up at 2:50 on Wednesday. We're going to just jump back 20 minutes for the classiest race of the day, or maybe there's just one performer who's very classy. Politolog is a shorty for the Desert Orchid Chase at Kempton at 2:30 over 2 miles. Specialty are next in, then Forest Behan and Vaniter is the outsider of the field. Is this Politolog's to lose?
I wouldn't be... love this horse.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say I wouldn't be absolutely... I wouldn't say he is bomb-proof in this because... Specialty Hour is solid. 8-15.
He's been smashed up.
Specialty Hour 5-2, 8-1. Forest Behan, Vanito 33.
I think he opened about 4-6, already into 8-15. But I absolutely adore this horse, Alex. When he won round Ascot last year, one of the best jumping performances I think I've ever seen. They finally got his trip right. Of course, he was fourth behind York Hill. That was in the JLT at Cheltenham. Was going to win the Maghull Novices Chase over 2 mile. Aintree went. Didn't fall at last. He sort of knuckled, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't get his front legs out. Since then, he won the Holden Gold Cup impressively. And then at Sandown, he beat Fox Norton. I know that form's been let down somewhat today, but he was always in command there. I think he'll lead him a merry dance and win comfortably. This is his trip. This is my idea of the Champion Chase winner.
Interesting.
But Special Tiara, I mean... he's one of the most underrated horses in training. He finally had his day in the sun when winning the Champion Chase at Cheltenham back in March. He won this prize in 2014 and 2016. He's a hardy performer, but he's always going to be liable to an improver. Mm. And I think Politolog over the correct trip now is just that.
He's 9-2 Politolog for the Champion Chase. If you want to get on now in that market, Altior 6-4, well, 3-1 Min, 9-2 Politolog, and 7s and bigger the rest.
We don't know where Min's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Will Altior even turn up in the race and is 6-4 Fav?
Okay. Well, the 9-2 may not be available for much longer. So if you fancy it, do get on, and obviously a much shorter price.
I mean, York Hill. He's at the same price for the champ for the Gold Cup, 7-1. You can pick a lot of holes in those races who are going to turn up.
It doesn't bother you that Specialty Arrow won this race in 2014 and 16 and comes to make it 3 out of 4?
No.
Okay. Right, there you go. Fair enough. Politolog. A banker for Mr. Pimlott.
Yeah.
On this racing podcast. Well, good stuff, Ollie. And once again, festive regards, season's greetings, and Merry Christmas to all listeners. And we'll be back shortly on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.